Welcome to the Dynasty Freaks podcast with your host, Justin Christopher. For free rankings, player values, waiver wire tips, and trade advice, follow him online at dynastyfreaks.com or email dynastyfreaks@gmail.com.
Hello, greetings from Austin, Texas. Welcome all of you Dynasty Freaks. Admit it, you are addicted to Dynasty. I am too. My name is Justin Christopher, and I'm a Dynasty Freak. That means I love drafting, trading, scouting, and managing all of my teams 365 days a year. So do you. So let's talk some Dynasty on episode number 353. We are finally wrapping up this season. Oh, holy cow. Crazy. Finally come to an end. 2025 season's come to an end. I'm very proud to say that I won two of my Dynasty championships this last year. Last week I reported that I was going to win three, but I didn't because, good grief, I lost another Super Bowl in one league by 0.25 points when Puka Nacua couldn't secure that final catch at the end of the Monday Night Football game. So, did not win three of my nine, won two of my nine, but that's how it goes. Pretty brutal. Still, man, it's hard to win a championship and build Dynasty teams, and playing this game is great. It's a blast, so fun. With that said, just wanted to say farewell to 2025 season. Jump into the off-season mode next week in 2026. But before I do, wanted to present my 2025 year-end awards. So got some year-end awards here just to kind of close out this year. And then we will quickly shift. Hope that you'll stay following me all during the off-season, because I'm going to tell you a lot of things that I do during this time of year that help sharpen your skills as a Dynasty manager. Don't check out. Stay connected. Be a Dynasty Freak. Here we go. Let's talk breakout of the year. Breakout of the year. The candidates are Drake May, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and Tucker Kraft. I'll start with JSN, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. JSN's breakout started last year, really, but I've included him here just because he's completely broke out this season, scoring the second most fantasy points by receiver, just 0.5 half PPR points ahead of Puka Nacua. But his consistency is what made him so valuable this season. He only had one game with single-digit points. He had 10 games with 15 or more points and 5 games with 20 or more points. Amazing for him. Then there's Tucker Kraft. His season is not top of mind since he was injured and lost for the season pretty early in the Packers season after week 9, so he played half the season. Still, he was the third highest scoring tight end in average points per game, was the leading tight end when he got hurt, and just 0.2 points behind George Kittle and 0.6 points behind Brock Bowers as far as points per game. And both of those guys battled injury too, so it was just injury-prone tight end season, I guess. Man, Kraft was establishing himself to be the top targeted and biggest playmaker for the Packers this passing game, and he moved up into the top tier of the Dynasty rankings before he got injured. Very, very good for him. Hopefully his injury midway through the season means that he'll be healed and ready to go for the start of next season. But I'm going to give the breakout of the year award to Drake May. He had a stellar sophomore season, finishing second in quarterback scoring behind only Josh Allen. May had one of the most efficient quarterback seasons of all time. It's ridiculous. Completing 71.7% of his passes, even while taking multiple deep shots per game, because he threw the ball deep too. Best fall for his Dynasty managers. He saved his best games for last, scoring 5 touchdowns in the fantasy Super Bowl week and was pulled from the game in the third quarter. Even that. Imagine how awesome May could have been if he had better weapons in the passing game. His future is incredibly bright, and his Dynasty managers have a decade of fantasy goodness to look forward to. Man, he is the star of my championship team and my longest-standing freak league, and was one of my many, I'm sure was on many championship rosters in Dynasty leagues. I know I lost a championship because of Drake May too, so that's how it goes. Crazy. Drake May, I'm going to give the breakout of the year. Then we've got surprise of the year. I'm going to give this candidates Trevor Lawrence, George Pickens, and Wandale Robinson. Lawrence, let's start with him. He took about half the season to get going, but man, he finished it on an incredible pace, making him the 5th highest scoring quarterback of the season. Pretty crazy. No one would have expected that. He scored 200 more fantasy points than he did last season. 200 more. That's ridiculous. 200 more fantasy points than last season. You could say that Liam Cohen has really brought the best out in Lawrence, and just like he did in Mayfield the season before. Then there's Wandale Robinson. Somehow he finished as a 13th highest scoring receiver. 13th? That's crazy. Wandale Robinson? He, you know, no doubt was helped by Malik Nabers' injury, which thrust him into the leading role. Though he was, you know, led by a rookie quarterback, which would you think would make him even worse. He was a super surprise and it turned into being like a, you know, depth piece for dynasty managers into a player that you could actually start as a reliable starter, particularly in PPR leagues. I'm pleased that, you know, I actually traded for him in two dynasty leagues this year. I sure hope that he re-signs with the Giants rather than another team, since he's, you know, established this rapport with Jackson Dart. We'll see what happens. But my surprise of the year award is going to go to George Pickens, who, while the disappointed dynasty managers the last few weeks of the season, man, he sure carried them into the playoffs in his first, you know, the first part of the thing, with his career best 15.2 fantasy points per game, making him the fourth highest scoring wide receiver this season. He even outproduced his teammate CeeDee Lamb, which is crazy, in points per game. He outproduced him in the year because CeeDee was hurt for a portion of time, but still, he outproduced him in points per game. Ridiculous. By 2.9 points per game more than Lamb. Unbelievable. Dynasty managers were excited when he signed, you know, when Dallas signed Pickens, but they never expected him to do as well as he did this season. He scored nearly 100 more points with the Cowboys than he did in his career average in Pittsburgh. Wow. Now all of his dynasty managers are praying that he signs a long-term contract with Dallas. And his past attitude issues, too, don't prevent him from being on the field like he has in years to come. So we'll see what happens. Surprise of the year is going to go to George Pickens. Next award goes to the Rookie of the Year. Fun award here. This was a hard one because there weren't really great performances from rookies. But I'm going to give the candidates Jackson Dart, Cam Scadboo, and Harold Fannin. Let's start with Dart. He finished as the 15th. In average points per game by quarterback. His big play and his really consistent game and running game gave his dynasty managers a safe floor every week. He played without a top target, you know, Malik Nabers, and without fellow rookie Cam Scadaboo for much of the season, and with a terrible coaching staff that was fired midseason, and against seven teams that made the NFL playoffs. Still, he performed well and at the most difficult position in all of sports. His future is very bright. He's going to continue to get better with the Giants once they have better coaches, and they're going to get his top wide receiver back, his top rusher back. Can't wait to see what he does next year. I'm including his fellow teammate, Cam Scadaboo, as a candidate here because none of the rookie running backs or receivers really stood out strong this season. And Scadaboo outproduced all of them in points per game, even though he only played a portion of the season. Only Dart and Tyler Shuck scored more points this season in the rookie class, points per game. I had 3 shares of Scadaboo. I was so devastated when he got injured. I was not, however, when I learned, you know, that the injury was not as severe as it looked when it happened. And so, man, he's going to be on pace to start next season. I can't wait to have him back. What a great season for Scadaboo. But I'm going to give the Rookie of the Year award to Harold Fannin, a player I have to admit. I'll admit when I'm right. I'll admit when I'm wrong. I'll have to admit, I'm missing out on him in all 9 of my leagues. He was a superstar for the first game of the season and was one of the best rookie tight end seasons of all time. He scored the 5th highest points by tight end in his very first year in the NFL. What a crazy accomplishment. He's going to serve as a reminder from now on that you don't discount small school prospects when they have a historic production in their small school, and whenever they play top schools, they still have great games. That's the case for Harold Fannin. I discounted him, and man, I missed out. Managers who were wiser than I, you know, drafted Fannin, are stoked about the future that they have in a lockdown a tight end position. So great to see the Rookie of the Year award go to Harold Fannin, much to my chagrin because I have him nowhere. Let's talk Veteran of the Year. Veteran of the Year candidates were tough to narrow down, but I picked Brock Purdy, Jonathan Taylor, and Cortland Sutton. Brock Purdy was injured for much of the season, so I considered not adding him as, you know, as a candidate here, but his incredible game-winning performances at the end of the season allowed me to include him. I wonder what a full season of Purdy could have done for dynasty teams. It would have been so great, but he finished just behind Josh Allen in average points per game by quarterbacks with 24.1 points per game. He's the perfect quarterback for the Shanahan system, and the offense, you know, is humming, even with mediocre receivers, which is crazy too. He's, you know, sneaky ability to run the ball, particularly this season, was on display, making him even a safer starter in dynasty lineups. Man, Purdy had a great season. Then Courtland Sutton. He quietly finished the season as the ninth highest scoring wide receiver. Crazy, ninth highest. His best two seasons of his career have been the last two seasons of his career with Bo Nix as his quarterback and Sean Payton as coach. Take that to note. They re-signed him this year because they see him as their wide receiver one, and all the other many receivers that they've drafted are just role players for the team. He almost got 8 targets per game. Almost. It was like 7.7, I think. And he's their best and most reliable red zone target, too. While he didn't finish as well as he started, so that was sad, I'm still going to give my Veteran of the Year award to Jonathan Taylor. His fiery hot start, you know, really enabled him to finish the season as the second highest scoring running back just behind Christian McCaffrey, even though he sputtered out at the end. He still finished second and ahead of Bijan Robinson, which is crazy. Man, Taylor scored 100 points more than he did last season and fell 18 points shy of his career best season. He propelled dynasty managers into the playoffs and did just enough to win leagues if he was in there, because his last games weren't terrific, but they were just enough. I know, because I won a championship with him in my one league with Jonathan Taylor on my roster, my only one, propelled me into the playoffs and kept me alive just enough to win the playoffs, even though his games weren't great at the end. What a great year. Great Veteran of the Year. Then we'll talk a Bounce Back Player of the Year. What would you say for Bounce Back Player of the Year? I've got Chris Olave, Travis Etienne, and Kyle Pitts as my candidates. Kyle Pitts bounced back in a huge way, finishing the season as the second highest scoring tight end in fantasy. That's crazy. He scored 50 more fantasy points than last season and had a career best year. He stayed healthy all season too, which has certainly, you know, benefited him from, since many of the tight ends were injured. If you go by points per game, there was a lot more players that tight ends that had more points per game, but he stayed healthy all year and did great. Still, it was a great bounce back season for him. As for Etienne bounced back from a terrible season last year to be the ninth highest scoring running back this year. So crazy to see him do that. He fought off rookie Bashaul Tuten, securing the leading role, and had 220 points more than he did last season. That's crazy. Dynasty managers who are hopeful that he will re-sign with the Jaguars are keeping that producing, you know, hoping that he keeps doing this. The Jaguars offense continues to improve. As well as Pitts, Etienne played, you know, my bounce back player of the year is still going to go to Chris Olave, who helped many dynasty managers to championships with a stellar play in the final 2 weeks of the fantasy season, but racked up an incredible stats this season, all season long, and finished as the sixth highest scoring wide receiver overall. Olave's biggest flaws were his injuries and his inability to score touchdowns. We defied them both this season, scoring a career best 9 touchdowns and not missing a single game with an injury, fantasy game, meaning he missed this last week in week 18, but doesn't really count. In the fantasy season, he didn't miss a single game. Managers who thought that they had a kind of like a fringe wide receiver 3 or a flex position player in Olave for this season ended up with a viable starter who likely became their wide receiver 1, depending on who they had. He and rookie Tyler Shuck have chemistry, and the Saints' new coach, Kellen Moore, has just unlocked Olave's talent. Their futures are bright together. So much excitement for their dynasty managers, for sure. Olave gets my bounce back player of the year. Now, this is a weird one that I try to do, but I still like to do it, is the waiver wire player of the year. I've got Jacoby Brissett, Kamani Vidal, and Tez Johnson as my candidates. And Tez Johnson was one of the more fun, short-lived waiver wire additions in dynasty leagues. His comical, you know, MVP chants were for him, thinking they were for him. If you haven't seen that video, you got to watch it. He thought MVP chants were for him after his big play ability with the Buccaneers. They made him a hot and a fun player to root for. Unfortunately, much of his production came with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin were not playing, so his relevance was, you know, kind of disappeared after their return. And then Jalen McMillan's return, too, even made it worse. So then we got Kamani Vidal. On the other hand, he, you know, was very helpful in for dynasty managers and really sustained a long stretch with Amari Hampton and Hassan Haskins when, you know, when they were injured, let alone Najee Harris. So many injuries to the the backfield there. Vidal got back on the team and earned a role with the Chargers, probably the right to become the backup for the future behind Hampton. Managers who were patient enough to hold it all after his, you know, the dud of his rookie season last year were greatly rewarded. And if dynasty managers were savvy enough to pick him up off waivers this season, they too are rewarded. Still, the waiver wire player of the year award goes to Jacoby Brissett. Oh my gosh, who scored 20 points per week taking over for Kyler Murray this season. While the Cardinals continued to lose, Brissett made his offense productive and revived the dynasty value of Michael Wilson. Man, so crazy. Brissett and Wilson were one of the surprise combos of the year. Really startable players every week of the back half of the season. Brissett helped many super flex teams to the playoffs, and even I've got a couple of one quarterback leagues where he was the number one quarterback going into the, like, playing in the playoffs. So it's crazy. He's worthy of holding on to because the season too. He could serve as a bridge quarterback for the Cardinals if they make, you know, trade Murray, or he could sign with another team if they, you know, the Cardinals don't choose to exercise the 1 year, you know, potential out on his contract. What a surprise. Brissett was awesome this season. He's definitely the waiver wire player of the year. And finally, we got to go to MVP. Very, very difficult to decide this one. I've got Christian McCaffrey, Puka Nacua, and Trey McBride as my candidates. You know, this award should rightly go to Trey McBride, especially given his position. He scored 84 more points than the second highest scoring tight end of the season, and he never missed a game. His consistency brought dynasty managers a huge advantage every single week of the season at the tight end position. His record-breaking season with the most receptions by a tight end in NFL history make him a great candidate for the MVP reward. If he were a receiver, he would have finished as the fifth highest scoring player, just behind George Pickens and ahead of Jamar Chase. Unbelievable. That's ridiculous. Still, he scored 46 fewer points than my man, the next candidate, Puka Nacua. Nacua stayed healthy this season, missing just one full game, and finished the season as the top scoring wide receiver. Unbelievable. His season high scoring game in the semifinal week of the playoffs propelled most dynasty teams into the Super Bowl, where he played but was ruined by the Rams. Yeah, you know, played well but was ruined by the Rams penalties. As I already said, I lost one Super Bowl because Puka Nacua, my second most rostered player, just didn't catch that final ball that was reviewed. That was so painful. Still, his toughness, his incredible hands, his running for the catch ability make him a monster in the Rams passing game and a perfect weapon for Sean McVay's offense. What an incredible season. What an incredible player. Even so, you got to give the MVP award. Deserves to go to the fantasy legend, you could say. One of the best of all time, Christian McCaffrey. Man, when McCaffrey stays healthy, he's arguably the best fantasy producing player of all time, joining the likes of LaDainian Tomlinson and Jerry Rice. His 29 and 26 point games in the semifinals and the championship propelled dynasty managers to championships. It's wild. What a player dynasty managers have thought. He had thought, you know, maybe it was wise to sell McCaffrey since he was injured the last season. Man, he was traded in so many of my leagues. He's one of the most traded players in the leagues the last few years. And, you know, either contenders were, you know, trading him away because of injury. Sheesh, anyone who bought him, man, they're happy that they've bought him. And you bought him low. So crazy. One of the most traded players. He's worth buying every single time. Dynasty managers who traded him have got to be regretting it right now. What a monster fantasy player he is when he's healthy. What a joy to watch him bounce back this year. Yet again, Christian McCaffrey, my most valuable player. All right. That's how we're wrapping up the week, or wrapping up the season, rather. We're talking this whole rewards, and that's it. Now we're going to go into off-season mode, talking about rookies, talking about some of the things you need to do right now to assess your dynasty leagues and your process. So it's going to be a real fun off-season. Hope you stick with me. That's a wrap for this week, my freaky friends. Thanks so much for listening. Make it a two-way conversation. Anytime by contacting me at dynastyfreaks@gmail.com, dynastyfreaks with two E's. Much better on email than any other social media platform. Anyway, that's it. I appreciate your support. Do what to become your most trusted, independent voice in the dynasty landscape. Until next time, you know what to do. Go out there. Get freaky.
Thanks for listening to the Dynasty Freaks podcast with your host, Justin Christopher. We welcome your thoughts and advice. Let us know what you'd like to hear on the podcast or see on the website to help you dominate your league. Justin prides himself in responding to every email, so hit him up anytime at dynastyfreaks@gmail.com and follow him on Twitter @LonghornJustin.